Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
So much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. It is what even is today? It's June 27th, you guys. What's happening in the world? That is how a lot of today felt like, to be perfectly honest. But we are here to talk all about this episode of SmackDown. We're on at 9 o'clock because Alex and I were able to watch internationally. A programming note for our show that we're very excited about is they're going back to 2 hours, which means we get to start an hour earlier. We will not have a show on 4th of July. I don't even think Alexis knows that, but we won't have a show on 4th of July. But we will be back to our regular schedule after that. We got a lot to talk about. I know this is surprising to a lot of people, but CM Punk seems to be at the center of A, some controversy, and B, some main wrestling program. So we're going to talk about it all, as well as a lot of the other moments on the show. We saw Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax in their last women's standing match. There were a lot of things to talk about with this, Alexis, and we're going to let people filter in here because we're still on an earlier time than we normally are, and I think we're still waking up some people. I'm seeing the numbers go up as we continue to yap. So yeah. I'm just going to say comical production glitches today. Like Randy Orton having to filibuster for a half hour instead of just throwing an exhibition match on, I think is genuine. He's out there yeeting. Like he's trying to help people as the feed went dead there. For 25 minutes, but my favorite was the Jurassic Park trailer just started playing in the middle of the show as well. And I was like, oh, that would be such a great bit if we were able to do it, but we would get demonetized. So that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But I love watching wrestling earlier in the day. I'll be straight up. Like, I understand why people would be a fan of the CM Punk promo. I thought it was awful. I thought it was terrible. It was a bottom five CM Punk promo for me ever. I was not watching during the Doctor of Thuganomics era either. So I it doesn't have a lot of nostalgic attachment to me, but the jabs were incredibly weak in my opinion. But we're going to talk about CM Punk's apology at the kickoff show that we got. And then we're going to talk about the closing segment first, and we're going to tell you about NordVPN, and we'll talk about the rest of the show. But what did you think of kind of the show overall? And did you, are you moved to go watch Jurassic Park now, I guess is the real question.
I was going to watch Jurassic Park before they ever even showed it to me. I mean, Okay. Like that's, they don't need to show me dinosaurs. No, I'm going to go watch dinosaurs trying to eat people. overall, the show to me was, you know, we have our very, you know, we've done this before. We have our go home shows, you know. This one definitely just, it felt like it just with a lot more mascara and lipstick on it, you know, just, sure. You know, you up the production value and stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was what it was. I'm not knocking it down or talking bad about it, but it wasn't something that I'm like, whoa, a must watch, you know, like.
I mean, we did have a title change, which we'll talk about. And we did have multiple title defenses, which I like. So it did have some more stakes to it than a lot of the go homes that we saw, but it's like the tag match ending in a no contest sucks. You know what I mean? So Tiffany winning was inevitable. So it's stuff like that, that kind of is like, at least there was more juice to it. It was just all very predictable kind of juice.
I think they had to have those title changes and those type of moments there just because of where it was at. Right. Like if you were holding that in, you know, in the middle of Omaha or whatever, you know, like you probably wouldn't have that title change. You would probably have what they did with Dominic, where they kind of just added the match right to the pay-per-view. Right. So because of the location and what the, you know, the moment, they love their moments. They built that moment. And so that moment happened over there.
I'm gonna say they are perverts for moments.
Oh my god, you used the P word this early in the morning. It's not morning.
I did. they, you know, I watched like the Punk Cena segment, I was like, they have a lot of good ideas that they have terrible execution on of late. Sure. Like that was the big thing I kind of took away from what we're going to talk about in a couple minutes here. Like a lot of really, Cena with The Rock never paid off. Huge moment. How many times did we say it? New Day, one of the most emotive heel turns of all time. What has this tag run been? There's so many major things that should have more, like Solo and Roman for head of the table should have felt like a very big deal. It kind of didn't. Like it was dragging its feet going into it. Io Sky doesn't have anybody to fight, but she had this huge moment at WrestleMania, right? Like the amount of fall off there is between these moments is just pure laziness. And we're going to talk about it all in a moment here, but let's talk about kind of the elephant in the room before we get to the rest of this. CM Punk gave an apology today to a fan in Saudi Arabia who wanted him to apologize for what he said to The Miz. I saw a lot of feedback online about this. And I think that person was a plant because it was the first thing Punk was asked and his response seemed almost canned, to people saying there's literally no apology that he could give, to people saying the apology made it worse, to people saying the apology went a long way for them as fans. And I don't want to like get on a political soapbox because this is a wrestling review show, but I'll say this much. I think the good of it is, I think what he was trying to say, because he said it wasn't about Saudi Arabia at all. He was cranky and fired off a tweet years ago. I think when he said it wasn't about Saudi Arabia at all, what he was trying to say was, it wasn't about the Saudi people at all, because it was very clearly about the Saudi government. But he can't come out and say, what I meant was it was about the Saudi government, not the Saudi people, because his life might be in danger if he did it. And it is a paid event from the Saudi government. So I appreciate that he, in as much as he could say, and I think a lot of people, especially on the American side, could do a better job of making those distinctions between the Saudi government and the Saudi people when we talk about the blanket of Saudi Arabia and WWE's relationship with them, right? Here's the problem with this particular trip. At best, CM Punk is inconsistent with the things that he's been saying. At worst, he looks like a complete fraud, because this is a man who went out there wearing t-shirts supporting women's reproductive rights, has gone out there standing next to signs saying that trans lives matter, wearing shirts that say the same, supporting gay rights. All of these things that are criminal offenses punishable by death in a lot of cases under the Saudi government. So I saw some people saying, like, well, he never rattled off a list or anything. Like, he didn't rattle off a list of that's against Saudi Arabia, but he has very clearly stood on the other side of what the Saudi Arabian government has done and said here. And this particular trip, for someone who also stands on workers' rights as much as that guy does, is problematic to me as a fan, because they went into they flew somewhere where planes were grounded this week because of acts of war, to put on a wrestling show. Okay, so this was about $50 million. This was not about a wrestling show. But they pushed through to do that. And I just think the insane risk that you would take when other flights that were being pushed through there were grounded. We don't have a ceasefire. Donald Trump flat out came out and said, I don't know what Iran and Israel are doing. He said, Donald Trump said, I don't know what those countries are doing. And they said, no, we have to push through. And there's going to be all this public relations nonsense about it, about how, well, we wanted to do it for the Saudi people. They wanted to do it for $50 million. Okay. Because those planes did get grounded. So when I look at all of this and see how they use WWE to paint the illusion of progress, and that's not a knock on a lot of the talent. A lot of the talent want to serve as symbols of hope for women in Saudi Arabia, for gay people in Saudi Arabia who aren't allowed to be. But like when CM Punk has done this much grandstanding about human rights and workers' rights, that's why there's a lot of people that are very upset. Now, there are complete idiots. There are definitely some complete idiots who are mad because he punched the Young Bucks like 4 years ago or whatever at this point. You can't be more mad at CM Punk than you are at the atrocities committed by tyrannical governments, right? So those people, I think, have misguided fake outrage. But there are plenty of people who feel betrayed by the fact that he went, and then to do so on a trip where they're forcing talent to go into, I don't want to call it a war zone, but at least a place where flights were grounded because of acts of war. Pretty close to adjacent to that, right? It is enough to me for people to be upset about this. I think they're totally fair in that. So I will say, like, I appreciate that he made a gesture to the Saudi people. I think there's a really, really steep rest of that. And I also saw the bit about like people grow and change and stuff. The man was 40 years old when he said this. This was not him rattling off some tweet at The Miz when he was 22. And then 6 years later is like, you know what? I'm 28. I said some dumb stuff in my early 20s. I'm closer to 30 than I am 20 now. And like, I have more wisdom. He was 40. He's a 40-year-old man tweeting like that. Like, come on, man. So I think it was a good gesture to the people of Saudi Arabia that they knew his righteous rage was not at them and was at something else, we'll say. So those are my thoughts on the apology. I will give the floor to you, sir.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that. I'd be fired tonight. first of all, whether you tweet it, said it, told it to a friend, Facebooked it, whatever the hell you were doing back then, that was so long ago that you still did it, and it only took up to this time for you to apologize or even grow. That's number one, right? if I say something back then, I'm pretty sure that whether I was in the moment or pissed off or whatnot, and sometimes when you're spewing things like that, is your real feelings. It's not something that you're just saying just because you're mad. If you're going to say it just because you're mad, I don't think it would have been worded the way it was worded. He was legitimately upset with the company. And at that point, he was still like working with Fox, which was still working with WWE. So you said something that you felt and you wholeheartedly believed at that moment. And it took you this long for you to come out your face and say something and apologize. Okay, cool. Let's get that out of the way. You apologized. Why did you apologize? Why now? Why? Like, there's so many questions. There's a whole side of this tribalistic POS, you know, website called Twitter and anywhere, pretty much where you find them, that people are just trying to find ways to, you know, accommodate for every WWE wrestler out there that does something right. I'm sorry, whether you're AEW, WWE, MLW, whomever, local indies, if you say something and you feel a certain way, stand on your own ground, right? Don't come out your face later on and talk about apologizing just because now you're cashing in that fat check, you know? But I'll leave it at that. I don't want to go any deeper into it because I also have my own personal feelings. My personal feelings extend all the way back to 2002, 2003. Sure. So for me to speak on it would be wrong right now because so much time has passed by. I've also been in a different situation than all of these individuals that work at WWE, right? But I will stand my ground and not watching the shows. I watched it today because I'm committed to Fightful and I'm committed to sitting here with you and talking and being professional about it. But other than that, that's where I stand. That is my piece. I hope everyone was okay with it. And I hope that honestly, from the bottom of my heart, because I do believe I'm a certain person who believes in second chances, sometimes third and fourths, right? Because we're all human and we all make mistakes, right? But I do hope that this apology that he told the people there and in whatever else is happening within himself is finding peace, because ultimately I would hate for anything, you know, to be bothering someone enough that, you know, they stay upset for the rest of their lives. We shouldn't live that way, you know.
Certainly not. So thank you for serving, by the way. That is something that is not lost on me. With you as my co-host, that you have a very specific and closer view than a lot of people that are sitting on Twitter. Like,
you know what I mean? That's why I wanted to mention that, because, you know, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what company these wrestlers are. I don't give a damn. You know, I stand on my ground on the things that I believe that I am firm about. There is wiggle room for certain situations. But, you know, Twitter, whether it's Blue Sky, whomever, I'm reading what people are saying, people that I know for a long time. And it's just weird. But it is what it is. That's how they feel. And I'm not here to change anyone's mind.
Well, there you go. Well, on to how bad I thought this promo was.
Back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Oh man, guys, a lot of you are just joining us. I know we started off on kind of a heavier note, but I did feel like it was warranted based on what we saw earlier in the night. Feel free to get into your super chats and humper chats as well about whatever you want to talk about. And tonight's SmackDown, lots of good wrestling to talk about as well. We will encourage you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Man, there's just so much happening on FightfulSelect.com, including because another Alex at the site doesn't like watching the Saudi shows. It makes him feel morally icky. So what we do is I review the show and I tell him what happened, but I sneak in three little lies and he has to catch the lies. We call it Sands of Blind because WWE was going to call their first show their Sands of Time. And Alex is really good at catching my lies. He's usually all or nothing with it. He usually gets them all or he gets none, but he's pretty consistent with it. It's one of the most popular style reviews we do behind there because the man will just unravel while he's thinking through everything. It's incredible. But we did have tons of notes from tonight's SmackDown. There were some broadcast issues that we had an update on over there as well. There was plenty going on FightfulSelect.com. We had the rundown for tonight. There's a select answers feature for you. TNA stars and contract years. We got so much happening on FightfulSelect.com. But let's get into this, I will say, polarizing promo, because I saw people that were like, this is the corniest thing I've ever seen CM Punk do. And then I saw people that were like, this rules. And to be clear, I am on the side of, if you like it, I love that for you. Like, I love when people like what's on their wrestling screen. I don't watch to hate it. I thought this was one of the worst corniest things I've ever seen, and it undid everything that was cool about the pipe bomb last week. Like, I thought it was so bad, and on the anniversary of the original pipe bomb, I was like, no. Like, I just melted into a chair as I was watching this. But let's talk about it, good or bad. I thought it was awful. They have, like I said before, like, they have these fun ideas, and then the execution of them is terrible. And this was a perfect example of that, because what you have is John Cena coming out saying that he's the last real champion, blah, blah, blah. And then CM Punk's not music hits. It's the Doctor of Thuganomics theme without updated lyrics. It's just John Cena rapping. And he comes out in his number 13 jersey. And the chain and the hat and the jorts and the knee pads on his ankles. And I don't know what in this he thought was biting. Like, I rhymed wrestle with, you can't wrestle. I rhymed it with vessel is terrible. I'm so sick of using the women and wrestlers' relationships as like shots. And CM Punk has done that multiple times now. He was made fun of Seth Rollins for Becky Lynch being successful. Like, how is being married to Becky Lynch an L? I don't get that at all. But he's like, I would retire too if they rehired my ex. Nikki Bella also works here. Is the best you got, man? Like, what is that? It's so bad and weird.
It's them, though. It's them. That's just, that's an old company playbook. That's not going to change.
And I honestly, like, I actually really enjoy the device of stealing from each other's place. Like, I like it when
I like
wrestlers
too.
use each other's finishing moves. I liked that John Cena dipped into the pipe bomb. I'm not against the idea of CM Punk coming out as like the Doctor of Thuganomics version of himself. I was excited at that part. I was like, because maybe he'll actually say something.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Followed was awful. Nothing in here was like a sick burn. And here's where I become like old lady shakes fist at cloud. Like, I said it a few times on the show, and I say it whenever I'm with Alex. So I'm sorry to be this person, but like, the point of a promo is not to talk a bunch. The point of a promo is to promote the match. So I'm supposed to believe I'm going to make you my Drake because you're my bitch or whatever is enough to rattle John Cena before tomorrow's big match. A Nikki Bella barb talking about you can't wrestle chance are supposed to be the things that get under John Cena's skin here. And the other thing is, like, the other side of this story has been John Cena saying, I am going to make you compromise your ethics and morals for a title shot. And CM Punk's response to that is, they hired Nikki Bella. Yeah. Like, the weight of what John Cena did versus the nonsense that CM Punk did tonight are totally out of sync. Totally out of sync. Because everything that Cena said in the pipe bomb had bite to it. Everything that CM Punk said tonight, I was just like, I just kept waiting for the thing that felt edgy, and none of this felt edgy. This felt like white guys who are closer to 50 than they are to 40, God forbid 30 or in their 20s even, like trying to put something together. It was giving all the kids who saw 8 Mile and thought they could rap. That's how it felt to me. Like back when Cena was popular the first time around, I thought it was bad. I thought it was really, really, really bad. And it felt just out. I love the idea. I thought the execution was awful. Like I there was not one thing in here that I was like, oh, got him. There's the right hook. I thought all of the things that were said were really weak in a package that should have been really cool. And the thing is, if you're going to do it as a satire, you have to lean so far in the other direction that it's incredibly silly and making fun of John Cena and that whole thing, right? Or you have to go in the direction where you're like, holy shit, like, did he seriously just say that about John Cena? This middle ground did not work. This was like, this is the stuff that non-wrestling fans see and are like, I can't believe you watched that. Like, if my sister ever sees this, I'm never going to live it down. She's going to be like, that's the guy that you had, like, with, you have a neck tattoo from that guy? She's going to be all over me. And I can't, she's my older sister already. Like, I can't face that for another 30 years of my life. Come on now. So I thought it, I'm sorry. I thought it was such a fun idea and the execution was terrible. Talk me down, Cardoza. Was there anything in this that you thought had some edge to it?
It was so corny, straight up. Like, you know, it's just I sit there expecting something different. I enjoy the sports entertainment side of things. I really do. I enjoy the pageantry of it. I enjoy the coming up of the corniness, right? Like, it's part of the show. But I do feel when it comes to these two individuals, this, like, what happened last week versus what happened this week is a total, like, my goodness, the night and day differences are so bad. What CM Punk, what that whole segment is like the is everything CM Punk has, like, not been his whole career. He has not been a character. He's never been a character. He's always been CM Punk, whether he was the voice of the voiceless, whether he had his group. Remember that Festus or whatever his name was and whatnot. And Serena Deeb, like, that even wasn't gimmicky when he was the Nexus leader. That wasn't gimmicky because he was still himself, just commanding a team to do his bidding and really take down everyone around him so that he can elevate himself, right? That's just the character who he was, right? Like, he was just he wanted that attention, and he by God, he commanded it, and I watched it, right? You know, he's definitely one of the best at ever talking, you know, so that you kind of feel like you need to buy into that match that he's about to have, and it fell flat. That wasn't a segment that I thought would be kind of like a segment that you would say, okay, let's go home on this, you know, specifically for this match. Oh no. And I think Kate is frozen. It's not me, is it? Guys on the chat, let me know that you can still hear me, because I see Kate completely frozen. I was hoping to get some type of reaction out of her, and I don't see her. Oh, yep. She just, all right. She just did that. Welcome to Fightful's Friday Night SmackDown post show with your host, me, Alexis Cardoza. Kate is having technical difficulties. And honestly, I think this is what we get for talking about Netflix. So, you know what? I apologize, Netflix. I'm sorry for you guys having your own technical difficulties. Now Kate is having her technical difficulties. I don't know if maybe we should play a Jurassic Park commercial. I don't know what we do right here. But she is going to come back. She will be back in the next couple seconds. Let her reboot her stuff. I don't want to continue without her. Actually, while we're here, I would like to know from you guys before she gets in, how do you feel about that whole CM Punk promo there at the very end? If you guys don't mind. If you guys don't mind telling me. How did you guys feel? And when she comes back, we're going to go right into that Nord promo as well, by the way. Because, you know, Nord is the best. It is my show right now. All right, so Murphy Dog says it was embarrassing. I can tell you from, like, just the fact that I love the way CM Punk was and who he used to be. Alex P needs to come in for the assist. Hey, someone will come in. I don't have access to the back end, guys. So you have me here, and this is all I can do right now is just talk to you. The clips look cringe AF. I saw a clip. That was all I need to see. Haven't seen it yet. Oh, that's right. A lot of you guys are watching it. A lot of you guys are just watching it for the first time, right? You guys didn't. Listen, by the way, we're going to pop in a NordVPN. I can't do it because I'm not like part of the back end of this, but I'm in as a guest. But when we do our NordVPN, I'll tell you what. Where the Fightful count? It looked embarrassing. Yeah. We're going to read that on air. I don't want any super chats and stuff like that. I want to read them on air. I don't want, you know, I want to make sure that you guys get your money's worth whenever Kate or Alex or whomever joins back in. I got an hour and a half before it starts on the left coast. Oh, my God, clown. I'm so sorry. I hope that we're not ruining it for you. But, you know, the results are pretty much anywhere and everywhere right now. So now I feel like Randy Orton, by the way, when Netflix went down and he was filibustering in the middle of the ring. By the way, NordVPN, y'all, before you know, while you guys are continuing to tell me how you felt about the CM Punk promo, if you guys want to tell me exactly, if you want to give it a grade, five stars, whatever, let me know also, like, how do you think that compares to how, you know, the character, the thugonomic character of Cena? I felt he didn't do it any favors. I felt like he didn't do it any favors, by the way. And NordVPN, that's the way I watched the show today. At exactly 1 p.m., I was able to just log in using Canada. I was an international viewer. And thank you, NordVPN, for that. And I was able to watch SmackDown live. By the way, that's also the way I watch all my pay-per-views. I don't have, what's that called, Peacock anymore. I dropped the Peacock because with NordVPN, I mean, I got them for like 10 years. I just went in and pretty much now I watch everything on Netflix, their pay-per-views, all their shows, NXT, obviously Raw. Everyone watches Raw. But yeah, let's see what you guys are saying here. The pictures of the Punk promo made me laugh. The promo made me cringe, says Bad Robot. You're like Jinder Mahal. Hey, Randy, I see you. Just the outfit was rough. Yeah, the Chicago Cubs, the old school Chicago Cubs. No hate for the Cubs. I actually like the jersey a little bit because, you know, that old school Cubs logo is pretty dope. But yeah, no, he didn't do it any justice. NordVPN or come join us in Canada. Yeah, that's me, by the way, Tim. I am in Canada through NordVPN. I kind of felt last week they were going to do this. You did? Kiki, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Kiki. I never had any idea at all that they would, how do you call it, counter program what he did. And by he, I mean John Cena, with what we saw today with Phil Brooks. 5 out of 10, it was basically Cena, but both are just old dudes doing an Eminem shtick that isn't anywhere near Eminem because, well, let's face it, M is good at it. Let's see here. Yeah, you can show this, right? Yeah. Yes, I did. I did, Reese. I definitely dropped the Peacock. Who did it better, AJ as Nikki? Oh my God, you know what? That's funny. That Chris Moon, thank you for bringing that up. You just like unlocked a core memory. AJ as Nikki, that's for sure. AJ as Nikki. Oh, and she's back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The host of the show, her name is Kate. I've been holding it down.
See what
like
happens?
I ran the Orton disc, by the way. I ran the Orton disc.
I was just going to say, see what happens when I make fun of their production? They're like, no, hey, we're going
to. We were having a great conversation, by the way, and a lot of people are just bringing this up, Kate, before you drop that NordVPN, which I love. We were talking about like a lot of things get reused, right? And people are like completely now unlocking core memories on the chat. Because I said, you know, I never thought that they would counter program what John Cena did with what, you know, Mr. Phil Brooks did today. And then everybody started bringing it up. Who did it better? AJ as Nikki. Remember that? Like,
yeah,
so we've had all these Miz and Maurice as well. Like, there's so many instances where this has happened before to Mr. John Cena. So, but yeah.
The irony that one of them was the Miz is overwhelming in some ways. Overwhelming. But before we cut to our friends at NordVPN, I did just want to say, we got this very, very generous chat from Tim McFowell, who said, money's for bangs and claves. I haven't watched WWE since Punk broke Kate and LT's hearts. Don't mess with the SGS. I love so many of the talent, but between the horrible treatment of talent by TKO and Trash Creative, not to mention the Saudi of it all, hell no. Mm. I did see more this week than I have in previous because of the acts of war that were going on. Of people just being like, is TKO serious right now? Like they're not going to reschedule the show, but that was their prerogative. Thankfully, so far, so good with the talent, but it's just, my whole thing always goes back to, it's a wrestling show. Sure. And they have a lot of money already. They have Agreed. A lot of money already.
Yeah.
Bad Robot saying, hey, favorite post show. I'm sorry I woke up cranky in the past and accused Alex of skipping work. Do you think Punk gets booed when they're back in the States? And Asuka for Queen, give Io a story. Give Io a story no matter what, man. This woman has been waiting on an opponent for a long time, and the plans with Liv obviously got dashed. I don't know what happens with Punk. I'm not convinced they're not doing a double turn tomorrow. Partly because this program led with face.
Sure.
The pipe bomb sent CM Punk on the biggest face run of his career, and Dr. Thugonomics was a heel run, right? So I don't think it does, but I wouldn't be stunned. And if they teased Cody and Punk, you would think like one of those guys has got to be a heel for that, and it ain't ain't gonna be Cody. Ain't gonna be Cody. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll get booed intentionally or otherwise, but they'll probably just like schedule something in Chicago and it'll all be fine. But
yeah, exactly. 100%. When in doubt, Chicago it out.
That's it. Well, we are going to throw to our friends at NordVPN because part of the reason we were able to watch internationally today, I know for me and for you, because you're a NordVPN user,
yep.
was because of NordVPN. We got to watch this when it aired. We got to watch on Netflix and sit through a 25-minute filibuster from Randy Orton while their feed was out. But nonetheless, we did get to watch this a little earlier, which means we got to start this post show a little bit earlier on our Friday night. And we got to do it as securely as we could, thanks to NordVPN. Plenty of benefits that we're going to let Sean Rossap tell you all about.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee, and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We love our Nord. We love our Nord so much. We did get this other chat from Mont Blanc saying, oh, snap, we're in Friday night clavicle review sesh. There you go. Thank you to Alex for
what I do.
For holding it down. Were you yeeting while I was gone? Were you
eating? No, that is, I can't. There's certain things I am not going to do, friends. And
wow, what I heard is Alex doesn't care about you guys enough to yeet for you. That's what
you don't want some dude who's 40 years old yeeting on you. Like, you don't really want that. Trust me. Call it? Is that, did they say it right?
I think so.
Chat, let me know. Chat.
I'm not hip to the kids. Chat, let us know.
Chat. W's in the chat if I yeeted correctly.
The only Chicago Phil that matters is Lindsay. Lindsay absolutely rules. So we love that guy. He's such a great voice in every space he's in. I'll put it that way. Like, no matter what he's talking about, that guy is just like, has just really, really great analysis and is very fair and level-headed in everything he brings to the table. I can't say enough about Phil Lindsay. He's always my go-to to fill in when I'm out, because I just like, he's such a delight to work with. And I know that no matter what's going on, that man is a professional and has it covered. I love that guy. Alex cares enough about us to not yeet at us.
He told you.
Amazing.
I know my people here, Kate. I know my people.
There you go. I was kind of like, why? I'm guessing because they just didn't know how long it was going to be out. But I was like, they should just have an exhibition match. Like, you have talent around. Like, why for 25 minutes was Randy Orton out there?
That's unprofessional. Man, you stick to the plan. You don't add something. Come on now. When you're this heavily scripted, and they weren't even live. They were just, I mean, Netflix is Netflix, right? USA is what matters here here in America is where they get their demographic and their numbers from, right? That's what everyone touts. It's just what they make here on USA Network. So them being on Netflix, just like, okay, cool. The feed went out. We'll just push pause and just wait it out.
It was 25 minutes.
It's just 25
For the live crowd. They're sitting there for 25 minutes.
I'm sure they were happy just to be in a giant place with giant screens and lasers in their eyeballs. Trust me. I would have. I don't mind. I enjoy, like, you know.
Filibustering for 25 minutes.
Am I wrong? Like, I would have played an episode of LFG on the big screens or something.
There you go.
See Motor City Machine Guns on there.
Well, that's from what I believe I had seen out there was the feeds were also out in the arena. That's kind of
wild. Oh, really? That's how bad it was? Oh my lord.
That's rough. So God love you, Randy Orton, for that. But that happened very early in the broadcast too. We had Michael Cole and Wade Barrett like welcoming everyone, and then it went out so fast. So FightfulSelect.com did have a bit of a production update for you regarding that with a bunch of other scoops. So head on over there. But let's move along. We get JC Mateo with Solo Sikoa. Sikoa?
That's his new name. Solo Sikoa is...
Solo Sikoa.
Sounds like a cough medicine.
If he lost like 20 pounds, he'd be Solo Diet Sikoa.
Wow. Wow. I don't know about y'all, but maybe it's time for everyone to tune off and go to bed.
I appreciate Alex holding things down while I was out, but if you're going to no sell my jokes, I can only tolerate so much. You know what I mean? I can't work like this.
I can't believe I'm the glue that holds the show together. And she just
you are.
Throws me out. How
honest
dare you?
God.
By the way, I'll make some Diet Dr. Sokola shirts. I like that pile driver. So, yeah, let's, all credit to him.
Sokola Zero. That's like that should be a finishing move right there. Wow. You could do the Storm Zero, but it's the Sokola Zero.
I love that.
Let's try this one more time. Ready? And cut. Right? Action. JC Mateo was Solo Sokoa, which I've never pronounced wrong in my life. Defeats Jimmy Uso with the Tour of the Islands. Continually just one of the best finishers in the whole wide world, man. I love that finishing move. God bless JC Mateo, Jeff Cobb, who was like, it is 104 degrees in here. It is very, very warm. On Twitter, he had this really great selfie where his face was just like, I know Jey Uso was like the guy and how over he is and how much merch he moves and stuff. I really like watching Big Jim, Jimmy Uso work. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, Big Jim. I think
we love Big Jim.
I love
Big this was Jim. The right call for the story because Jimmy is turning down the efforts to rejoin the Bloodline 2.0, which I think is a smart tactical move by Solo Sikoa. But we do see later in the night, Jimmy Uso and Jacob Fatu form an alliance. And that moves me greatly. I love that because Jacob Fatu makes the save after that match as well. And I like both sides of that coin. I like that Solo was like, the rest of the original Bloodline like isn't really a thing right now. So let me go see if I can get an Uso on my side, beat Jacob Fatu to the punch of forming his own faction, because that's all that happens with the Bloodline. It's just factions and mini-factions. We're NWOing this. And I like that Jimmy Uso is like, I ain't that stupid, and also chooses correctly in Jacob Fatu, because there's no one that I would be on the side of more in WWE and want to be on the opposite side of less right now than Jacob Fatu. Yeah. So I like from a character motivation standpoint, all of this. And I like the work that got done here. I think there's a lot of fun to be had with Jimmy Uso and Jacob Fatu in an alliance. I think that could make for some really great television. What did you think of the match and the alliance that we get out of this?
Not bad. They seem to continue to play with, you know, all the different pieces that when it comes to the, you know, what's left over from the Bloodline, right? So they're still trying to keep them relevant. And by they, I mean like anyone who was in the Bloodline that's not a champion. You know, Big Jim is the odd man out right now because he's still very popular. You know, he's a vet. He's been there forever, so you can kind of plug and play him anywhere, and it'll make sense, right? What doesn't make sense is that when every wrestling company does this, is you're always sticking the champion into a tag team match. It doesn't matter whether you're the world champion or all the way to, you know, European champion, if they ever bring that back. They're always just sticking people together. Like, Jacob Fatu is the type of character, persona, professional wrestler, entertainer that should be standing on his own two feet, pretty much like he did today, destroying everyone in the ring, you know? If Big Jim were to come around and help, it's because he's trying to even the odds, because Jacob Fatu is always being beaten down by more than one person. I think they, unfortunately, and because this was a go-home show, they kind of like always go to that well. And this is across all of wrestling. They go into that well. Well, let's just team them up and they fight, right?
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
But I know that sounds petty of me to complain about, but at the end of the day,
no, that's fair.
If Jacob is a freaking beast, I don't need to see him with anyone. He was just with someone for forever, right? So, you know, I think they need a little, when it comes to the bloodlines, they need a little separation. I think the only one that has gotten separation has been Roman, to the point where he's gone now. But, you know, like there's something that needs to be said when it comes to like having these wrestlers really go on their own direction against whomever, you know?
You feel like the bloodlines crossing over is going to make for some bad results. You feel like this is getting to be too borderline incestual at this
point. Like,
it's too much.
We're going to have this, we've been doing it for over 5 years now, this turf war between family members. At some point, we have to cut the umbilical cord when it comes to that, you know, whole connection there and say, okay, let's see where we can go with these characters. That's just me. Sorry if I sound like...
No, nagging, I understand what you're saying.
They're all great performers. Solo now just feels like an afterthought after Jacob came in. So Jacob took that spot from him real quick. Because Solo was the original heavy
guy.
You know?
Yeah. So I will say the more recent stuff of him getting to like have a personality that isn't stoic has been really good for him. But I understand what you're saying about like Jacob Fatu is the breakout star. We don't need to like pair him with someone else. But I think what I like about this is I think Jimmy isn't going to be like everything's a tag program. He's just there to equalize the numbers game, sure. Like you said. The thing that makes me nervous about that is, one, Jey Uso is like kind of in no man's land. He lost King of the Ring. I think there was a report, not from us, that they were like considering pairing the Usos back together as a tag team. What I don't need is Hikuleo being joined on the other side, and then it's Jacob and Jimmy and Jay. Like, I don't need action wars to continue this long. Like, just ride the Jacob Fatu train, man. That dude is a spectacle on his own. Like,
I just want to bring a little bit of light to I believe is Aaron on the chat real quick. They, you know, they mentioned that they feel like WWE needs a draft. Here's the thing: you got so many of those family members on both rosters that no matter where you place them, someone's gonna meet. and the draft is not really gonna do much because a lot of these guys are already paired together. So whether you separate them or not, you're still moving pieces left to right. And someone's going to meet down the line. And a lot of these shows, they're mixing and matching again. There's no exclusivity to a single brand anymore. We're seeing it where people kind of, you know, are seeing each other in passing and then they talk and they fight. So, yeah.
I agree with that also because they are very like, these are our top guys and nobody else right now.
Right.
And whether they shake it up with the draft, which I think they should do just overall, but whether they shake it up or not, it's like they just run tournaments. So these guys all meet again across brands. Like we saw with Orton and Cody, right? They like changed the rules of the finals to make it so that people from the same brands could fight. Like it, they just find a way to keep their top echelon, like, it's those guys that you're going to see permutations of those guys until you don't. Like that's how it feels. Nobody else can kind of break beyond that barrier. There's not a lot of mobility in this right now. It's going to be like Gunther, Jey Uso, Cody. I don't think LA Knight is getting like a mega push anytime soon. Like Finn Balor's always going to be in the mid card. Yeah. Like it's the same guys and it's burning out for me.
Yeah. I agree.
But you mentioned champions that had more tag title matches than they have been doing things on their own. Let's talk about Julia and Zelina Vega. Because Julia wins with the Northern Light Bomb in a solid match. I genuinely don't understand the booking behind the Zelina Vega title run.
It wasn't good. I'm sorry. I saw, you know, this was I got no words. I'm trying to put it together.
Her one defense was on Saturday night's main event, and it was a four-minute match. yeah. in which Chelsea Green's face got broken.
Yeah.
The booking going into it was bad. The title reign was bad. She was doing like, she was like, Alexa Bliss is my tag partner this week. Like the way that the women's mid-card titles were booked. Now Lyra like was actually giving a crap about hers and Becky's back. But the entire beginning of her title reign was her doing anything but defending her title. Like,
yeah.
Certainly no contenders being built for her. It was like, we'll have Ivy Nile lose this week and then Dakota Kai lose and get released. Like, it was, it's a really insulting thing to do to the mid-card. So I feel like Zelina has her strengths. I feel like Julia being the U.S. title holder is definitely the right call, but it also doesn't feel like Zelina was given a chance at all. And maybe the role for Zelina isn't champion, but if you're going to put a title on her, put a title on her.
Yeah.
Like I'm so confused by that. Was that like Aleister Black is back? We're going to give her a 51-day title reign or whatever it was. Like, it. I don't know if she's like a championship ready wrestler because she wasn't doing matches and winning matches going into that title win. And then when she had it, she wasn't allowed to defend it at any point. So how is someone made to feel like a champion? Or how are you supposed to make new stars with titles if they aren't defending and they aren't winning going into title matches and they win off of a shock victory? Match was all right. I think Julia will probably be a workhorse champion moving forward because she is a top wrestler in the world. And I think those mid-card titles need to be defended more. But what are we doing? Like, what was the point of this? I'm so confused.
Not to demean anyone who wore the title or anything like that. This is not about that. But for me personally, even the Chelsea run was just okay. It wasn't anything to brag about.
Losing as a champion yeah. more than she won, but yeah. she was so over it.
Well, yeah, she has the character made it over. The title defenses were nothing. The whole, she was fighting the same person for 3 months before they finally moved on. So it just, then they would give it to Zelina and the whole run made no sense. There was no vibe with it. I don't know what they were going for. Maybe just to get it off of Chelsea, just to see what they can do. But, I don't know about, you know, I don't know. That's where I leave it at. Julia seems like, the new shiny toy on the shelf. So they'll kind of like who's like not only an amazing talent, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way saying toy, I meant like she is out there, you're running for it, you know, that's the one that you want, so that, you know, like people are getting behind her, has a unique look to her, she's killing it. They probably paid a lot of money for her, and you know, for her to be in WWE as well as a performer. So they have to push her and they have to showcase her as a talent, as an entertainer, so that the company itself could, you know, see where this goes, right? Like we don't know how good of a champion she's going to be until we put it on her and see where it goes. And she's had success everywhere as a champion, right? And done her thing. So for her to now have this title around her in WWE, we're really going to get behind it and see where it goes. It's not up to her to book the matches. So whatever happens between today and her next match, or whenever she has another big event where she's defending it at a pay-per-view or whatnot, that what happens in between is not up to her. Same, we saw it with Chelsea. So we'll sit here yep. and wait.
Hopefully it is a better booked title reign than the previous ones that we've seen.
We can but only hope.
We can only hope. We can definitely only hope. Let's stick in women's wrestling, because I think there was a lot on this card that was surprising and interesting. I was very surprised by the reaction that Jade Cargo got compared to Asuka. They are very much in the Asuka camp. And I feel like Jade Cargill's winning tomorrow.
Oh,
I would
sure.
love for it to be Asuka to defeat Io, but I feel like Jade beating Tiffany to get cashed in on Naomi is the play. Sure. Jade Cargill has a movie to film. I don't know if that comes into play here at all.
Yeah.
But they cut their promos ahead of Queen of the Ring here, and they get interrupted by Naomi, and Naomi and Cargill argue with each other. Asuka gets annoyed and attacks Jade. And the crowd was very firmly behind Asuka, which was surprising to me because I feel like Jade has gotten good reactions otherwise. So I'm hoping it's a symptom of they're just very excited that Asuka's back. I also am as well. I feel like if I was booking it, you're giving me Asuka and Io in like a trilogy for a lifetime. I think them booking it, this is a way to elevate Jade and still be able to maximize her strengths and try to hide kind of like some of the in-ring that's still not fully there. So yeah. that's my guess, but I was surprised by the crowd reaction. Were you?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I agree with you with the whole Jade thing. And she's another one that, you know, even though she is filming a movie, they can pretty much work around that, right? They've done it in the past. And not only if it works for her, you know, like, you know, that kind of keeps her off television as well. So you protect her, like, you know, and not in a bad way. Like, I don't think that she's a bad professional wrestler. I feel like there's some highs and lows when it comes to her as a performer. She's killing it when she's on the mic, by the way. I love to see Jade succeed in every role that she's going to be put in. But I feel like with her is another one that, just like Julia, they gotta, you know, put their money where their mouth is and start pushing her further than what has happened as a tag team champion, or the little like back and forths, you know, like immediately she was taken off television with the what's that called, the car angle when she got into, you know, slammed in the car. So we have to see more, because we haven't seen anything from Jade besides pockets of little moments. We haven't, everyone else is having these long awesome matches, these long awesome feuds, but hers have been little pockets here and there.
I will say, I think Jade Cargill is one of the most unrepeatable professional wrestlers that you can have as far as having an on-screen presence. I don't think there's anybody who could replicate what is special about her. I do think the in-ring inconsistency is a massive issue.
Big issue.
Yes. And I think that's probably what has halted some of this. I also think people underestimate how tricky it is to... Tag wrestling and singles wrestling are different languages, different from beasts. The same origin. And yeah. She just actually hasn't had that many singles matches.
No.
In WWE. So I don't know, man. I agree with you. With Julia, I think you have a complete package. And you just, like, I think the way Julia gets over is she goes out there and wrestles and kicks a bunch of people's
Oh,
ass.
That's it. Yeah. Like,
I think,
you, yeah.
I think with Jade, it takes a little bit more finessing. Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they've been able to.
I understand what you're saying.
They've been able to help her as a on-screen performer in the ring by, you know, putting her in situations where there's multiple people around her.
Yeah, and the right people. Like, I feel like Monday it wasn't Jade's best performance, but Roxanne Perez knows exactly what to do to make that work.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what's to come from that. I'm thinking she wins tomorrow. I'm thinking she's winning.
Oh, me too. It's the only decision that makes sense in that situation. Because you want to be able to have her have a high caliber feud, a really high caliber feud. And
if,
you know,
if
with
someone's
who?
An attraction.
Yeah.
If somebody's an attraction, you have to like cash in on that at some
Oh,
point.
Most I, definitely. You look at Jade come down, man. It's like, I told you about Jade before. I've said it multiple times. I love that woman. So
she's like, Your eyes are stuck to the TV window.
Glam slam me.
Speaking of glam slams, I really want Beth Phoenix to be in that women's casino gauntlet.
Oh, dude, she's teasing. She is teasing. I mean, let me tell you something.
I want her to Athena so bad.
She's teasing way more than anyone could ever tease with these Instagram posts, right? I mean, that's some like high caliber blue chew type of teasing, by the way.
We don't have an ad for them today.
Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to just, damn it. I apologize. I don't get a rundown.
Let's move along to this interaction with Alexa Bliss, who is backstage with Charlotte Flair and tells her they should form an alliance. And Charlotte is hesitant. And leads to Alexa saying, just think about it. Doesn't need to be an answer right now, girl. Like, just have a think on it. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by what that could be.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be the Wyatt Six gaining up on Charlotte because of the type of character that she is and the type of targets they go after. So I feel like that's the play, but I don't know if they're going to push Alexa into that faction because I feel like that faction's not doing particularly great. And I feel like Alexa is extremely over. She's the most followed women's wrestler in WWE on Instagram. She's
maybe that's why it'll work.
Huge pops. It could be. It could add new life into that. I would love that for Nikki Cross too. But I'm not burned out yet on that. Like, I'm interested to see where it goes. Any thoughts on the segment? It was a brief one, but a good one.
Yeah, thanks. You know, we see her face.
We do. Let's move to Andrade and Rey Fénix defeating DIY. We get the message from Andrade onto Ciampa. I had fun with this. I really like DIY, as you guys know. I feel like Andrade and Rey Fénix is a fun pairing. A really fun pairing. Like, I like the diversity within that. I don't think it's for like the long haul, but I have fun watching it. Like, I think the Lucha Bros probably reunite. Maybe there's an angle in there where Penta steals Fénix from Andrade. But I enjoy Andrade is such a different animal than Rey that I think that's fun and nice to see Rey Fénix just back on TV as well. Any thoughts on this?
Short, sweet, put the Latinos together, boom, done. That's just the way I feel like how it is. I'm sorry, but if you listen to Wrestling with Freddie, he will tell you the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be unintentional at this point, right? And I don't know if that has to do with like the AAA acquisition or whatever.
Right,
that
right.
Like.
You guys know what you're saying to each other, right? Go out there.
What is it is like, even in. What's so funny with like AAA is like they had JBL coming by and stuff. You know what I mean? Like
I'm not going to touch that. Not even with a 10-foot pole.
That promotion had like Nick Nemeth coming in. Like they were not like everybody has to be Latino. So, and I don't watch that promotion very much, but I like sorry, I should be very clear. Diversity within the styles that we're getting, not diversity within the people that we're getting.
Wow, Kate. Like
Andrade really is a completely different type of wrestler than Rey Fénix, is what I meant by that. Sorry.
And I don't mean anything wrong by like, hey, it's cool. You could put all the Latinos together. I mean, we've seen it happen in WWE since I was born and watched my very first match. You know, like, it's nothing.
Like, it's the thing is, it feels like their only idea. That's my thing.
That's it right there. Yeah. Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with the match itself. So,
yeah.
That was one of my favorite in-ring things on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sticking around in tag worlds, this was disappointing. The Street Profits versus the Wyatt Six, and that ends in a no context. Because
I would have never guessed that one, but yeah.
I know. Aren't you shocked?
No contest, nice SmackDown. Like, sorry.
It was. No, I love it because you say that jokingly, but I was like, oh, right, this is SmackDown. Like, of course we're going to have no DQ or no contest or whatever. Like, oh, thanks for the reminder. This is SmackDown and not a different.
I wanted to text you, but I was like, she's just going to talk about it. So why am I even going to even bring it up?
Well, we do have like the entire SmackDown division spilling out here. I feel like they did a disservice to an overarching WWE tag picture by not having Fraxium on Raw. I feel like Fraxium as young upstart baby faces feuding with the New Day so that the War Raiders have someone else to feud with and that the New Day have someone else to feud with was a huge mistake on their part. Because that Raw tag division, nobody is there for the New Day to fight. Nobody.
I read the
Wyatt Six feels very stalled. Like the crowd did not really, they have one of the coolest presentations I've ever seen and the crowd was not in on this at all. They did have to wait around and watch nothing for a half hour. So that might have affected their reactions at points in the show, but it wasn't great. Did you like anything with the match specifically though?
I mean, watching the Street Profits always fun, but other than that, it's just
that
like,
doesn't get old. Watching Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins doesn't get old.
Yeah, I did see people writing on the Twitter, you know, that WWE does have the best tag team division in the world. So maybe universe. But if you do, unfortunately, it just doesn't look like it on television. And you do have some great performers. I do agree with that. But it seems like every time there's some type of tag match, it's either a mixed match thing where you kind of just put people together, or you have a disqualification, or you have
so many DQs.
You put everyone together. Yeah, you put everyone together backstage to like talk to each other. I even saw a couple of LFG talent in that whole scuffle backstage. So like, you know, we'll see where this goes. I mean, I would like to think that you would take, man, because they do have some good people there, man. You would take
this,
and it's always the same people, unfortunately, just in the same mix. It's never like bringing anything else into it. But man, I'm like complaining a lot today. I apologize. It's just I expect more. I'm taking 3 hours out of my day, people, to watch something, to watch oily, beautiful men in tighties wrestle each other. Okay, so like, let me live my life and let me complain.
It's substantive criticism, first of all, which is the only thing that you should care about.
It's like me watching Superman in 2 weeks and saying, gosh, I didn't like X, Y, and Z from it, but the film was great, you know?
Yeah, and like, I think there's a lot of people that feel like, on the whole, outside of key specific programs, there's a lot of stalling in WWE creative in general right now.
Man, yeah.
I love a lot of the talent in the SmackDown division, and it's in way better shape than the Raw one. But you're right in that it's a lot of the same teams mixing up. I do think the Wyatt's coming back for everybody is an interesting character arc for them.
Sure. Because we're so used to seeing like targeting singles for so long. Well, not them, because it was always either a three-man group or at a time it was just Bray, right? So,
and like that tag division, because it's the same teams mixing up, like everybody getting put on notice is like a division-wide solution. So I'm intrigued to see where it goes, but they just got to get it into the next gear.
They do.
Well, we have Ron Killings, who's in a meeting between Nick Aldis and Pierce, but he gets interrupted by Aleister Black before leaving the room. And then later, Ron Killings comes to the ring to call out John Cena, but he gets Black masked by Aleister Black. So they are continuing that program. I don't know. I'm not out on it. I just don't know if that's the right combination of guys, but I'm willing to see where it goes. a nice continuation. It's consistent, if anything. I can't complain about that. I don't know if it's the right duo, but we'll see. I'm open to it. We'll see where it goes. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm with you the same. There's until something more develops, there's nothing else that I can throw in there, right? Like we've seen this type of style of mixing and matching before, and I've said it in the past. I'm not gonna knock it. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm waiting and see. I'm gonna, as the kids like to say, and they still do, Kate.
Let them
cook. Let it settle, simmer in there in the pot, and see where it goes. If it turns out to just be a shit show, excuse my language, then we'll be here to say it.
Damn right. Well, here's what you can sign me up for. Damian Priest gets confronted by Aleister Black backstage and tells him to solve his issues with Killings face-to-face, and Carmelo Hayes and Priest having an argument out of that, to which I said, oh my God, finally, yeah. And yes, those two guys. A Carmelo Hayes, Damian Priest feud is like what I've been complaining about for 5 months or whatever. Like, Damian Priest has been built to be a top guy, a top feeling guy. Lots of Fightful Select about how much he'd been working through injuries and what a tough SOB that guy is. But like, I feel like personality wise, ring wise, like physical stature wise, like I am so in on the idea of Carmelo Hayes and Damian Priest. Like, that is the refreshing type of creative that I want to see, with the right combination of guys that's going to elevate Carmelo to that next level. I am so happy that this was on my screen today. I was like, finally, we're out of Disneyland with Carmelo Hayes and onto something. No offense to that guy. I don't want to have to, you know, apologize to him, but I prayed for this and it happened, Alex. Like, this is, that's where I'm at.
I've heard that
this.
Before.
Nope, brand new. I thought of it just now.
I've never heard that before. You see how quickly I back my people here? It's like, what?
Yeah.
First time I ever heard those words put together in that sentence.
Thank you very much. That was a Kate original.
It was.
Are you as jazzed about this as I am?
I wouldn't say jazzed. I want to
get jazzed.
I want to see where it goes. You have, it's the old telltale, like it has never been told before. David and Goliath. You have the big old Damian Priest, rawr, and you know, and you have Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Hayes.
I'm thinking basketball. Carmelo Hayes, who is an amazing talent on his own, and I can see him pull this off if this goes the right way, where you see him slay the dragon, right? Just kind of just like put him over. Do I have faith that that's what will happen? No. What I do see is maybe someone coming back and kicking one of these poor guys' face off and turning it into like some type of three-way or another tag match or something. Like, unfortunately, like I don't have any faith until I finally see how far they can go with it. These two, though, have an ability that if they put a story together, you can go and have these trilogies, let it cool off, come back years later and be like, you know, you're in my face again. Didn't I shut you up once, right? Like, that's the type, like, they did that so much. And I know, Kate, you didn't watch during the 90s because you were just a tiny wee little baby. But, see, I watched during the 90s.
I was,
you know. And in the 90s, you had these long-forming storylines, and people would fight all the time, and then you would see these factions come back again, right, and meet up again years later. It was cool. Like, that was like, we used to live those out in the video games all the time, these factions and feuds and one-on-one. So I feel like with them two, they can really pull it off. I got to have faith, though. I just got to sit here and have faith that that's where they're going. Yeah.
You got to George Michael it.
Yeah.
I am deeply moved by the possibilities of what those two could do.
Yeah,
if I would. Drew comes back for it. I also feel like Drew and Carmelo could be really fun. So
That's where I was coming. If someone's going to get claymored in a weird way, you'll see someone, you'll see a giant dude with long hair in a black hoodie come into the ring Like, no one's.
I love the idea of Drew trying to be coy. Like, he's such a big dude.
By the way, in a kilt and just.
In a kilt and a black hoodie.
Who could this be? I can hear Wade Barrett now. Who could it be? I have no idea. You know?
I love the idea of him showing up in a kilt. Bring the sword. But in a black
hoodie. Yeah, like, I want the sword, like, in the back hanging, like he's a Ninja Turtle. Like, he's Leonardo. You know, just.
I love it. I love it. Well, last
you only get this on Friday nights, by the way. This is Friday nights. This is the only place you ever get stuff like this. Don't go anywhere else. Don't ever switch the channel.
Don't ever. Or
don't ever turn that dial. Fix your bunny ear antenna so you can see us nice and clear.
Or we will kick you from the island for our Love Island. You will be single and vulnerable and you will get
dumped. I'm sorry. That's your jam.
Here's the thing. So before we talk about Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax in this Last Woman Standing match, I didn't voluntarily get into Love Island by any means.
I love it. I can't believe, like, this is the second time since last week you did this. You're like, wait a second. Let me explain about Love Island.
Let me explain. It was, my friend has forced me into watching it and now I'm ahead of her. Like, that's my problem, is I can't turn it off once I get started.
Yeah.
So this was all for her. And now I'm like, did you see, like, Alondra, of all people? Are you kidding me? And Nick, and she's like, I'm not there yet. And I was like, I did this for you. But now I'm doing it for me. And I have to admit it. I have to admit it.
Yeah. Shout out to Allie, by the way, in the chat. Who wants to pull you for a chance.
Allie, two belts.
Can I go too, Allie? That's not fair. Come on now. Take me with you. That's between y'all. That's fine. I'll just stay here.
Take us both.
That sounds so bad. Like, take us both.
I'm sorry for the Love Island spoilers, Murph.
No,
dog.
Listen, it's okay, guys. Like, spoil away. I'm sure trillions of people are gonna turn to Fightful Friday nights to hear about your Love Island. Yeah. Yours is a stretch. Or I should say ours. Should be like yours. Like, you say my.
My Love Island.
There you go.
There it is. Oh my god! I just did this. I've been getting swole at the gym.
Oh shoot! Yeah. By the way, guys, she gave me a hug, and she kind of threw my shoulder out after she gave me a hug. I don't know if you guys have seen me on broadcast, kind of shaking it out and stuff like that. I've been having some really bad.
I injured you.
It's literally going numb even while I'm just sitting here. So I don't know what it is, but I could trace it back to just a couple days ago when I had lunch. Kate here. That's so it was her.
My trainer, God bless him. I pay this man to torture me.
Like, whoa.
And he does
in the gym, people. Keep like your hands that. Out of the door. This is not that movie.
When I went to do this, we did chest yesterday, and I was like, ow. As soon as I did this, I was like, oh, that hurt. I am sore. But he is a gem and very good at making me want to cry. But it's
that's
fine.
Good. I mean, this is what they get paid for, right? I mean,
here's the thing, Alex. I don't know if you've heard, but it's about drive. It's about power.
Oh,
and
geez.
I stay hungry and I devour. So I need him to help me.
I've only heard that coming from you, so.
Yeah, that's another original that no one's ever said before. So
Kate has a lot of originality in her body. I'll tell you
that
much.
OG, baby.
OG.
Let's talk about this Last Woman Standing match between Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. No problems with this. Predictably, Naomi comes down here tries to cash in, but is unsuccessful. What I loved with this is Tiffany taking the briefcase and using it herself to beat the crap out of Nia, because it's the Last Woman Standing match. Like, that was a very, very smart thing. And I appreciated commentary being like, she knows what she's doing with that. Like, she had the briefcase and she was using it as a weapon for a long time. So I liked that commentary called that out. I don't love the, like, fake cash in months of stuff. It gets kind of exhausted for me, but Naomi is so over that I don't hate it. And I'm glad that they finally did this. It's very weird that they had this feud, stopped this feud to do a feud with Charlotte and Tiffany for Mania, and then just went back to this. It feels like they were like, we're going to have a blow off after you have an entire feud with someone else. So the timing of this feels very weird, but these two are very familiar with each other. I loved both their gear. I have to say Nia Jax in that like tealy turquoise color. Like, I thought she looked just gorgeous. And Tiffany's like Barbie-esque 90s gear stuff going on. Yeah. I thought looked great. But Nia looks striking in that gear. This was fine. We've seen these two wrestle a lot. They're super familiar. So this was just a solid clean match. Naomi was kind of the story here, but not able to cash in. Huge reactions. Looks like $1 million. So happy that she's been kind of catapulted into the next stratosphere of the women's division. That's a woman who's deserved that for a very long time. So some good stuff there. Solid match. No real complaints about it. Nothing mega outstanding in comparison to the others, but certainly serviceable. Certainly serviceable enough to make this angle work. And Tiffany, I like the way she was laying in the briefcase shots, because some people get like chair shots with it where they look really robotic and like they're from a video game. Like, no, she was beating the crap out of her because she wanted to make her stay down in this last woman standing match. Of note, not Slim Jim tables, just regular tables. Also, really liked the minimalist look. Nothing on the canvases. No LED stuff. It felt good. Felt like pro wrestling to me. I wish that was the case all
the
time.
Do you need LEDs? Did you see that Titantron that they had? It was as big as the Empire State Building. They don't need any more LED. They use their LED allowance just on that.
I'm sure a lot of it is like shipping stuff, but I like the less distracting look. That's just a personal preference of just, set.
You're an old person, kid. That's what it is.
It is.
Old people like our newspapers and dial-up phones.
I want my newspaper. I want my corded telephone.
And I want my Sanka coffee. All right, that's all I want.
That's right. That's all I need in this life.
Or Folgers.
What did you think of this last women's standing match? I thought it was really solid.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it was really it was very predictable. I think in my brain, I just kind of knew what was gonna. Unfortunately, we've been watching wrestling so long, we kind of already know. We kind of predict things like this. Nothing to really scream, oh God, you gotta watch this. No, these two have gone at it. You already know what you're gonna get out of them. I'm happy to hopefully see where what the next step for Tiffany is, because a little separation from this has kind of been going on for a while since the days when they were together, So like, I want to finally see, where Tiffany goes when she's not in a comfortable position that she's in right now.
Yeah. Like, can we Tiffany versus Meechan sign me up? You know what I mean? Like, let's do some work that way.
There you go. That's me.
But we're going to head out of here. Nice to finish up a little early today here on a Friday night. Boy, it's great to be alive in New Jersey on a Friday night, right? That's what we're doing here.
I am so glad I'm not in New Jersey on a Friday night.
Hey, talking S about your home state that treated you so well for so long.
I was drafted by North Carolina, so this is now my home state.
Look, there you go. There you go. Some updates about what is on the channel for this weekend. So you'll have Grapsity. You will have Sean on the main doing a solo post show for Night of Champions tomorrow. You will have Alex Pulowski and I behind the paywall on FightfulSelect.com doing our Sands of Blind review. We have a lot of fun with the silliness. And what's really fun is I tell him what happened. I sneak in my lies. And then I watch Alex Pulowski just do this. And talk through all of the possibilities about why something may be a lie or not. He just gets so. I really need like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music that got like so somber when the lights went down. We just get to hear his inner thoughts, and it's genuinely hysterical because I just kind of sit back and try not to give it away with my face. So this is the perfect way to put it. Alex plays 4D chess against himself is what happens. It's so funny. Yeah. And as a co-host, I just get to sit back and watch. It's incredible. So join us at FightfulSelect.com for that. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We will see you next week.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.